like to watch the kids just get up here. You know, I come up here many times walking this church, and it's kind of dead. There's nobody here during the week, believe it or not. And the lights are off. But during Vacation Bible School, every day, it's alive. It is alive. I like to hear it alive. And those kids are just having a great time. How many of you believe? I know you believe, but how many of you have victory in your life this morning? You don't have to raise your hand, but think about it. Do I have victory in my life? Am I receiving the blessings of God that God has given me as a child of God? You know, he says, I'll give you these things. And God gives us victory over the situations in life. And many times we live far below what God wants us to live as a Christian. And folks, I know this. God can change your life. He can change your life this morning. I heard about this morning in Genesis how God created us to have that relationship with Him, how He loves us and wants us to have that relationship with Him. And I believe God is looking for people that He can just bless, because, you know, God wants to bless our lives. And yet we fall far below what God wants to give us in our life. Now, I love this book. And Brother Perry was talking about, this is the book that the person had no father. Now, that's what the Bible says. This person I'm studying this morning, he has no father. Because it says in verse 1 of chapter 2, now Joshua was the son of Nun. Did y'all get that? I told my wife that this morning on the back porch, and she just, she smiled. I tell you, I brought a smile to her face even before the sun came up. Joshua, the son of Nun. Okay, he had no father. Well, Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. Now, we already smiling, we're already laughing. I'm glad you're laughing and having a smile, because sometimes, like Brother Jay says, you've been sucking on sour pickles all night and you don't smile. We need to come to church to have a fellowship here and listen to the Lord's word. Joshua chapter 2. Now, Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country. Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in the order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road of the Jordan to the fords. And soon as those who had pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you have fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan. Sidon and Og, you have utterly destroyed. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither there to remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word. Lord, we just thank you. As we study your word now and listen to your word, Lord, let us listen with our heart that we may understand, Lord, what you would have for each one of us. For all of us come here this morning from different backgrounds and different needs in our lives. But Lord, you know where we are this morning. And you know if we have victory this morning. And Lord, I pray today that if we do not have victory, that we will let you change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, immediately we see in the Word of God that these two men come to spy out the country, and they come to a woman who is a harlot. We may better understand that to be a prostitute. The Bible says she's a harlot of Jericho. Hardly the kind of woman you would want to come into your church and sit there. Hardly the kind of woman you'd want to put active of your women's program. It makes some of you cringe to think as these two men went there that they were lodging there at her house. But that's what the Bible says. They came to this woman who was a harlot. Now, yet when we read about Rahab, when we read about her life, God has placed her in the Bible for a very important purpose. You see, no matter how far a person can go, and that is about probably as low a self-esteem as one would have, no matter how bad the situation is, God's grace is sufficient to reach every single one. Amen. Now let me tell you something. As a church, we need to be burdened for people. We need to be concerned about people's lives. It doesn't matter to me who that person is. I believe God has given them a soul, and God has given them knowledge, and he wants you and I to take to the world the gospel of the message of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No matter who they are or what they've done, God loves them. Get that in your mind this morning. We have a closed mind sometimes when we talk about people. God loves people. Now, he didn't like her being a prostitute. He didn't like the sin. But he loves the person. He has a heart for a people. In Joshua chapter 2, listen what it says. Because these two men of Israel came into the city of Jericho, she hid them because she knew these were men of God. And she knew that Jericho would be destroyed, and she, in her life, wanted to be saved. Now understand that. She understood that these were men of God. They were children of Israel. They were there to spy out the country. They were coming. And she knew that she would be destroyed, and she wanted to be saved. Now listen, what power on earth can change this lady? There's only one power that can transform her from a shady lady to one who is mentioned in the Bible. And You see, sin deforms our lives. But only Jesus can transform our life and make us walk in victory that God has given us. And Rahab was transformed only by the power of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul said, it's the power of God unto salvation to who? All who believe the word. If you're here this morning and you're not having victory in your life, you're here this morning and you have sin in your life, the only thing that can get that sin out of your life is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When you look to Him, the Bible says He can make the sin disappear, wash it white as snow. Now, not only was Rahab mentioned in Joshua, but she's also mentioned in Hebrews. I just love it when I find somebody that's mentioned in Hebrews. When Hebrews 11 was written, I just love that passage of Scripture. It is the hall of fame, I believe, of all those who live by faith. And you see people in there like Noah. You see people live in there like Moses. You see people like Abraham, Enoch, Samson. All some of them had some crazy past, but they're there, Sarah. And then you find this little lady called Rahab, the harlot. And it mentions that, Rahab, the harlot, in chapter 11, 31. And God took her from this shame in her life to this fame in chapter 11. And do you know something? He can do the same with your life today. Man, you say, well, preacher, you don't know the shame that I have in my life. You don't know what my life has been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what sins I've committed. I don't. I don't need to know. But God knows. And God is the one who can save you and transform your life. And He can do that to every single person in this room if you'll just let Him. Now, folks, when I sing, I love Victory in Jesus. Man, my dad used to sing that. He would get up there in the rec law and he'd lead the music, and he would, when he'd sing Victory in Jesus, you could just see the victory in his life. We were talking about drinking this morning and how our fathers led us and guided us. Well, on the Jones side of our family, it was so bad that my father didn't want us fellowshipping with his relatives at all. He'd say, don't you go down to their house. That's off limits. Because he knew what kind of people they were. You see? And my dad grew up in that, and he drank pretty heavily, I'm told. But I never saw him. You know, because my daddy, when he married my mother, he asked God to come into his heart. In life. And he completely changed. Never heard him cuss. Never saw him drink. You see, he loved God, and God transformed his life. And man, when he sang Victory in Jesus, you could just see it on his face that he had the victory in Jesus Christ. He knew what God could do in his life. And this woman is mentioned there. This woman who was a lady, a harlot, was married to a prince of Israel. And God took her to a doomed people from destruction and changed her life. And she's not only mentioned there, but she became the great-great-grandmother of King David of Israel. And if you look over in the lineage in Matthew, chapter 1, I believe it is, verse 3, she is mentioned in the lineage of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Glory! Amen! That's victory. That's victory when you go from the gutter to being in the line in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. God can change your life. I believe that. Amen, amen, amen. Now, where are you this morning? Where are you? I'm going to tell you how God can change your life. Now look at what I read a while ago. Notice the judgment that confronts these people of Jericho. They were under judgment. God decided to destroy the inhabitants of Jericho. It was a city that represented evil. It was a city where the devil was having a field day, so to speak. Man, I tell you, it was so wicked that God says, I'm going to wipe out the people there, because it stood between the people of God and the blessings of God. Now, many times that's what happens in our life. The old sinful flesh, it stands between us and God and the blessings of God. Now, Rahab was a citizen of that country. She was a citizen of Jericho. And Rahab, the Bible says, has heard about the people of God. She said, listen, we have heard how God has given you the land. And the terror, it says in verse 9, has fallen on us. And the inhabitants of the land, oh, we're faint-hearted, because we know your God is the true God. And she had heard about they were coming to Jericho. And her heart had melted in her life. And she wanted God to change her life. Did you know that every one of us are just like Jericho? We're under condemnation. We all have sinned. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means if you're here, if you're born, you were born a sinner. And the Bible says unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, you see, we all need to be born again. Now, I was born again in, I said last week, 1985. Man, I really got mixed up. I was saved in 1975. I was called to preach here in 1985. I had those dates mixed up, but I've been mixed up for a long time, so that's all right. One thing I'm not mixed up about is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know that I know that I know Him personally. Man, we are members, though, of a doomed race. You look at where we live today. You look at America. For a long time, we stood as a Christian nation, but our nation is sliding down the slippery slopes of sin and indulging in our flesh and indulging in the wickedness of the world. And the Bible says we are a doomed race. We're under the judgment or the condemnation of God. Jericho was just like that. They were for sure going to be destroyed. And the Bible says every one of us without Jesus Christ in our heart, we're under condemnation. We're going to be destroyed. And she was a woman confronted with the judgment of God. And the Bible says she believed the word of God and she trembled at that. Now, folks, until a person believes they are lost, you're not going to get saved. Did you understand me? Until you realize that you are lost. I'm not talking about until you realize that you're a pretty good person. A pretty good person is lost. I'm not saying if you realize, well, I go to church on Sundays, that doesn't mean a thing. If you never received Christ, you go to church and you're still lost. The world, the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you've got to believe that you're lost without Christ in your life. And you've got to believe that judgment is coming. And you've got to believe that he died for your sins upon the cross. He's the only one who paid the price. And you've got to put your faith in him. Until you do, you haven't been changed. And until you do, you're not going to receive the blessings that God wants us to have. The Bible says every person outside of Christ is bound for an everlasting, fiery, burning hell and will be in torment night and day forever and ever. I believe that. When I look at the world and I see people that are lost, I realize if I don't tell them about Jesus Christ, they will spend an eternity in hell because I did not tell them. You see, I have a responsibility as a born-again Christian, and that's to tell people about Jesus Christ. You have the same responsibility as a Christian. If you're born again, you have to tell people about Jesus Christ. When you do not tell people about Jesus Christ, the Bible says in Ezekiel, their blood will be on your hands. Woo! Man, that makes, you know, that makes chills go up and down me to realize that one day I'm going to stand and say, God, I could have witnessed to them, but I didn't, and now they're lost. You know, we have a responsibility. I believe it. I try to tell people about Jesus Christ. And folks, that's what the Bible says, not what Brother Booney says. That's what God's Word says. You look it up. God confronted Rahab with this information, and her heart trembled, and she said, Lord, I don't want to be destroyed. I don't want to be destroyed. I want my family saved. I want them to go to heaven. I want them to enjoy the blessings of life that your people are enjoying. I don't want to die. And if you're like Rahab and you believe the word of God and you believe one day that the judgment is coming and you need to be saved, then Christ died for you. All you have to do is profess him as Lord and Savior of your life. Let him come into your life and he will change your life. But the first step is to realize that you need to be changed. You see, until a person believes they need to be changed, they're not going to change. Now, we talked about what alcohol would do in our lives, and I believe with all my heart that my father knew what it did to his family. He knew what it was doing to his life. And he didn't want that kind of life for his children. And he wanted God to change his life. Folks, we've got to believe that. We've got to believe that sin is in our life and it destroys our life. Look what it's doing to our families today. Look what it's doing to our schools today. You take God out of the family, you have divorce running rampant. You take God out of the schools, you're having shootings and destroying and teenagers committing suicide. It's running rampant. You take God out of your marriages and you have marriages that are collapsing every single day. And people say, I don't know why this happened in my life. I'll tell you why. You don't have God in it. You've taken God out. And we must put him back in as head of our families, head of our lives, head of our, in our nation. Look at what the evidence that convicted her. In verse 9, she said unto the men, I know the Lord has given you the land, and the terror of the Lord has fallen on us. Listen, Rahab was convicted not only by what she saw, but what they preached in their life, what God was doing to the children of Israel. And she wanted that same God in her life. She looked at those two spies and said, we know that God is working in your life. He's working in your people. And he is the true God. Let me tell you something. When you're out there in life, you're a Christian, you better live for God, because somebody is seeing your life, and you're either turning people away from God or turning people to God. Amen? I believe when you go in the grocery store and somebody cuts you off in line, you ought to say, "That's all right, go ahead." Instead of getting off aggravated and throwing a hissy. You know, I was in a hurry the other day. I had some Bluebell. You don't get between the cash register and me and the Bluebell. And you know what? This hit home. I was going in for the kill, man. I had my machine spotted. I go to those quick things, you know, especially with Bluebell. And a guy walked right up in front of me. And you know what I did? I said, "Go ahead, sir." And he said, "Did I step in front of you?" And I said, "Yes, sir, but that's all right. Go ahead. You're in a bigger hurry than I am. Go ahead." He couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. I said, "You know, I'm not in that big a hurry." I said, "I got plenty of time, except until the Lord comes back. And I'm ready if he comes back." I let him know that I was a Christian. You know, that's what we've got to do. I wanted to say, "Well, I'm in a big hurry. My ice cream is melting. I don't see your buggy having any in it." There'd been a time when I'd have probably said that. But no more. No more. It's just not worth showing your unchristian side, is it? All the flesh, it's there. We have to battle it every day. Nobody knows how I have to battle it more than me. You see? But we have to live for Christ, because there's Rahabs out there and they're looking and they want to see if God is real. And man, she saw that God was real in this group of people. And if we're ever going to reach our town or our state or our nation or the world, then we've got to let them know that God can make a difference in our life. And what we need are some Christians to live out that, what they say they believe on Sunday, every single day of their life. Rahab was convicted because she said, "We have heard what God is doing in your life. And I hunger for God to do the same thing in my life." How many people are tired of dead, dry churches? Folks, I'm tired of it. When I come to church, I want it to be alive. I want people to talk to me. You ought to talk to somebody. Somebody the other day said, "Our church wasn't friendly." I said, "Oh, you just don't know. You got to be a friend, you know. You got to smile too. It goes both ways." Man, I think this is a friendliest church. But do that. Smile towards people. Talk to people. Because some are just looking for an excuse not to come back. And I don't want to give them one here. She saw something in the people of God that she did not have in her life. And that's why it's important for us to be committed and faithful to keeping God center of our life. And keep on keeping on no matter what others do. And then the salvation that converted her. She said, "I want to be saved. I want my family to be saved." I hope you, by the way, I hope you fathers, we're coming up on Father's Day, would say that to your children. "I want you to be saved, son. I want you to be changed. And I'm going to live the life that shows you that Christ is alive." As a father, you need to do that. You need to set the example for your whole house. And mother and wife, I hope you'll do the same thing. "I want to know Christ. I want to live so that my kids will know Christ." And the men said to her, "We will be blameless of thine house," or thine oath, "which you have made to us. We'll know, Rahab, that you want Jesus Christ in your life. And we're going to make an oath with you. If you will hang the scarlet thread from your window, and when we come into town, the people see that scarlet thread, they will not destroy this house. You see, that's the thing they made with her. If she had said, well, you know, I think that's ridiculous, you can tell everybody, they'd have destroyed her house. She had said, well, I don't think I'm going to hang that scarlet thread. I think I'll hang a pink one or a blue one. They'd have destroyed her house. They said a scarlet thread. Now, let me tell you, salvation comes by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, the Bible says, died before the foundation of the world. He was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And in the heart of God, Jesus had already been slain for that woman and that household. And that scarlet card hanging in the window, I believe, represented, I trust the blood of Jesus Christ. Why did they ask her to do that? I believe they remembered the blood over the doorpost when they came out of Egypt. You see, God says, everyone who will enter his house and put the blood of a lamb over the doorpost, the death angel will pass by. But if you do not do that, the death angel will kill the firstborn. Oh, the blood of Jesus Christ. He paid the price for our sin. Just as the scarlet thread in the window, when the judgment comes, you'll be safe, Rahab. Now, not only we see salvation by the blood, we see that God makes it so easy for us to be saved. What did she have to do? Just hang that scarlet rope in the window. You see, a child can do that, can't they? If you've got children like mine, they can hang it from the ceiling. You know, they're everywhere. I just love them. I love kids, but they can climb. They can get into places you never thought they could get to. You hide something, they're going to find it. You see, they're just that way. All God says, it's so simple. He says, if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, that's not hard, is it? Anybody can do that. If you want to be saved, you can do that. You can confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Just trust in Jesus. Receive him into your life this morning. He can change your life. That's very easy. But there's another step. Salvation is public. Hang the card in the window, not the closet. I want everybody to see it. Hang it in the window so everyone can see that card. And when they see that card in the window, Rahab, they will pass by. Jesus says this, whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words in this sinful generation, I will be ashamed of you when I come with all my glory and my angels. You see, I'm going to ask you to do something that in front of the church. If you really want to be saved, all you have to do is believe in your heart, confess the Lord Jesus Christ, and then make it public. Are you ashamed to do that? Just simply come down to the front and say, preacher, I want to trust Christ with my life. Had a young man a couple of weeks ago came, a lady came, we have people coming. It's not that hard. God asked you, would you do that for God? I'm not ashamed of him. You know what I did? When I accepted Jesus Christ, I wanted the whole church to know. So I just stepped out and came down. Now, for me, that was hard to do because I told everybody I was already saved, and I'd been living a lie for about 12 years. And I'd lie hit me right between the eyes one day. And I thought, the old devil said, what is everybody going to think of you? And boy, that hurts, don't it? What is everybody going to think of me? Because we want people to think good of us. But I said, Lord, it doesn't matter what they think. It only matters what you think. And I stepped out and came down that aisle. Even the preacher said, I thought you was already saved. I said, man, I am now. I am now. God can change your life. Would you believe in your heart this morning that you're a sinner and you need to be saved, and that Jesus Christ is the way of salvation? You've heard it from the Bible. Would you make it public this morning? If you don't know, if you don't have victory in your life, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Would you come simply by faith saying, I want to trust Christ this morning, preacher. I've been going to church all my life, but I've never really been saved. I want to make it right today before it's too late. That takes courage, but would you do that? Maybe you're here and you've been saved, and you just need to come to the altar and say, Lord, I haven't been living like I should. I know that I'm saved, but I need to confess some sins in my life. Get on your knees and confess. The Bible says He'll pick you right back up and put you back on the right road again, get you going. Maybe you're here, you're looking for a church home. This is the place that God has led you. It's a good place. If they ever get a pastor, no telling what's going to happen. I love you. We can have a fellowship together, learning and knowing about God. Would you come and join with us? Whatever decision you didn't make, this is the time to make it. I don't want anybody getting up and leaving out. This is the most important part of the service, folks, where God's Spirit moves among the people. And they make a decision for God in their life. Be real quiet and just let God do His awesome work. Heavenly Father, I thank You today for this lady named Rahab, that You chose to put her in Your family and in the Bible so that we could understand that no matter who we are or what we've done, You have a special purpose for us. And God, if there's somebody here today that doesn't know You, may they come. Or if they do know You, that they'll just come get their life right. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.